Oh, Thou art our sufficiency, Father. Thou art our everything. Without You, we can do nothing, Lord. But through You, we can do all things because You strengthen us. We appreciate being here tonight, Father. We thank You for the opportunity. We thank You for health and strength. We thank You for the grace of God. We thank You for the blessing that You have blessed us with, Lord. We thank You for Your goodness and Your mercies. We thank You for every brother and every sister that is here. Oh, gracious God, we lift our hands and we praise You. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank You for the divine revelation that burns in our hearts from day to day. Thank You, Lord, for Your transforming power that is changing us, Lord, from these vile creatures that we were and bringing us into the very image of the living God to be sons and daughters of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, God, we thank You, Lord, to know we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah! We've been loosed from our sins and we stand in Your presence, Lord. Lord God, without condemnation tonight. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. Thank You for the Spirit of truth that have led us into the truth down through these years. Thank You for the light of this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ that we are walking in tonight. Hallelujah! And for the blessed fellowship that we have in Christ Jesus. Oh, God, to know that our amnesia is gone. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. We anoint as we were known. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, we give You glory and honor and praise tonight. Hallelujah. Thank You for Your presence that we feel. And for the divine promise. You said You will never leave us, never forsake us. And lo, I am with You, even in You. Always, even unto the end of the age. Thank You, Lord, You are faithful and true. Thou hast brought us down to another year. Oh, God, as we see this year, the last few days fading out. Oh, God, and we that time, Lord God, when we know that, Father, we'll be facing a new year, and then we'll be rededicating our lives. But we want to rededicate our lives every day, Lord. Not just, Lord, as a formality, but every time we come in Your presence, we don't know what day will be our last. But, Lord, we want to live every day as though You're coming that day. Oh, God, be so faithful and true to be loyal, faithful Christians. Lord God, dedicated Christians, dedicated servants of God. Bless us tonight. Bless our gathering, Lord. May You lead us and guide us in the paths of service. May our gathering bring honor and glory to Your name and assistance to Your people. Almighty God, not forgetting our sister Carla who sent this request. Lord, afflicted in her body with a cold and with a fever. Lord, I pray that You would touch and You would deliver from this condition. In the name of Jesus Christ, even now, Lord, we pray and we ask this blessing upon our sister for the glory of God. Lord God, we pray at Your word that You would speak to our hearts tonight. Father, we'd be so quickened by the Spirit. Lord, may You open the Scriptures. May You open our understanding. We might understand the Scriptures. May our souls be caught up in heavenly places. And may faith come by the hearing and hearing by Your word. Oh, God, we see that the Spirit of God has posted us in this hour. Lord God, You have placed in that channel. You have opened up the word to us. Oh, how we should be so thrilled, Lord. How our hearts should be so charged with faith. I pray, dear God, that the Spirit of the living God that is present here among the people tonight, Father, would so bring back the word back to remembrance. And may You teach us further on the truths, oh God, Lord, that we intend to look at tonight. And I pray, dear God, that even if there be a stranger or visitor within our gates, that the Spirit of God would speak to you expressly. Father, You would even speak to their hearts in a special way. They will not leave this place until they are so convicted, oh God, by the Holy Spirit, until they so desire, oh God, to surrender and give their lives unto You. May this great glorious hope of eternal life be made so plain to both saint and sinner alike tonight. As we sit in our presence, we pray and we ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. And for Your sake, we ask these mercies and blessings. Amen. Amen. God bless you. want to welcome everyone in his presence tonight, and we'd like to turn the book of Daniel to chapter 10. We'd like to open up that tonight, and I'm hoping I could just catch these last couple of chapters in this last couple of services and maybe finish it up at the end of the year. And in the last 3 months we have been writing this book of Daniel, and I don't really believe we even touched the half of it, but I believe that we were able to give a little panoramic view as to what is laying inside of here, and I trust that it would enlighten our hearts as we keep looking at those things and fellowshipping with these things. I'd like to read our chapter 10 tonight, because I know that the last couple subjects I would like to really get fully, I would pick it up right here in this last vision, because it's all through 10 to 12, and so we will not really miss anything. Daniel 10, and this was Daniel's last vision, 10 to 12. Very lengthy. Most of the visions took either part of a chapter, a few verses, or an entire chapter, but this one covers 3 chapters, but it's one vision. It's the closing vision of the book of Daniel, and this is where Brother Abraham says Daniel heard them 7 thunders, just like John heard it. I remember I took a whole series on this some years ago, I think 1984, but it's appropriate that we just finish it out in the light of what we have studied thus far up to chapter 9, and the things that we have been looking at in the light of the modern events that so caused the Spirit, I should say rather, to send us into this book. Daniel 10. And if you want to maybe just before we read that, just look at Daniel chapter 1, verse 21. When Daniel is writing this book, in verse 21 he says, "And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus," because that's when he was there. But here in Daniel chapter 10 it says, "In the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia." So that means he had already retired, because he was speaking there when he was in the palace. He was before the king Nebuchadnezzar, then he was King Darius, and then he was with King Cyrus. And Daniel's whole career, it spanned from Nebuchadnezzar until the 1st year of Cyrus. And then no doubt he was about close to 90 years old and retired from public life. But here he had received a vision. The Jews are no longer in captivity, because they left in the 1st year of Cyrus, when Cyrus was the one who signed issued the decree, and they went back out. But Daniel was still in Babylon. He didn't go back out to Jerusalem. He stayed in Babylon. God had a purpose for him for staying there. And here he writes, "In the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing, and he had understanding of the vision," because it was a vision, but the vision was the direct word from God coming to the prophet. So he understood the vision, he understood what God was communicating to him through the vision. And he's saying, "Those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks, 21 days. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And the 24th day of the 1st month, thou was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, the Tigris River. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Ufas. His body was like a beryl, and his face like the appearance of lightning, and his eyes like lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet in color like the polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Look at the description of this person, whose feet is like brass, whose voice is like voice of many waters, the voice of a multitude, whose face was like lightning, like the sun in its full strength. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, or the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves, just like those men, the mountain, when they run all under the trucks and everything else with the prophet. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. And that was the kind of effect the vision had upon him. John, when John saw it, he said, I fell on his door, was dead. Daniel said, he said, my comeliness was turning to me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palm of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, I fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. From the first day that he had set his heart to understand, so there was something he still needed to understand. That's why he set his heart to understand. But look at this. He says, and for thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Now, this is not the one who he saw in the vision. This is another person. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, so that couldn't be Christ. Is that right? Christ don't need no help from nobody. Nobody can withstood Christ if somebody had to come and help him. So is another person here in verse 10 who touched him and is raising him up. Because the one he saw first, whose face was like lightning, whose feet was like brass, and whose voice was like the voice of a multitude. That was one person, but here's another person. But this person is telling him, he said, I was sent to thee by the prince of Persia, which stood me when I was coming to you. Because I came for thy words. Every time you set your heart to understand, I'm come to thee. Is that clear to you? You see, somebody still looking at me funny. I'm not reading that, saying nothing strange. Read the Bible and see for yourself. If you want to feel that somebody could withstand Christ, it's up to you. If you need help, he is my God. My God don't need no help. He's almighty. Amen. Because this angel is saying Michael had to come and help him. Now, Christ is nobody different than Michael. Is that right? Sure, Christ is nobody different than Michael. Because that word, one of the chief princes, really means the first of the chief princes. That's what you should really read. Because if you read in Jude 9, it says Michael, the archangel. You just look up the word arch mean archbishop, archangel. Arch mean the chiefest. Can't have two chiefest. Only one person in the entire Bible is called the archangel, is Michael. Didn't say Michael a archangel, it's Michael the archangel. So I say it is Michael. If you read Michael, the first of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. This vision that Daniel had seen was for many days. This great vision he had seen of this one who who stood there with his feet like brass and all these different things. Who's going to stand for his people in the last days? And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke and said unto him who stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. That vision was so powerful, that vision of Christ. How can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remain no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came one and touched me, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved. But here again he's been called for the second time greatly beloved. Fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, but thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou why I came unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have greatly blessed our hearts these last 3 months. That this book that we have endeavored to study and look into, Lord, especially when we see the world in such a chaotic condition, the people in such a hideous condition, and the wrath of God fixing to be poured out, and the church fixing to be raptured. Oh God, and these past 3 months we stayed looking into these words that were sealed up, how they become open to us, Lord. How, Lord, it has caused us to understand, even with greater insight, the times that we are living in, the things that are happening round about us. And Lord, as we strike this last and final vision of Daniel that closes off this great apocalypse of the Old Testament, Lord, we look to Thee, the only revealer of the truth, the very one who, when Daniel saw in that vision, is coming, is turning to corruption. God, how could we sit and receive the divine revelation and then get puffed up? Oh God, be vain, Lord. May as we break into this great glorious vision, may as inspiration strike our hearts, may we too, dear God, fall on our faces. May we acknowledge that we are nothing and you are everything, dear God. May your Holy Spirit, Lord God, take a hold of us like never before. Dear God, may it bring us into such a realization, such a humility, Lord. Lord God, may it help us. We can truly stand in these last days. For you said, they that know their God shall do great exploits. When these 7 thunders utter his voice, that little group will take the word and hand it to you. Oh, they can shut their heavens, create a billion ton of flies. What a church that is going to be, Lord. We'll show that little group how to prepare for great translation faith. What great exploits they will do, Lord, as they sweep this message unto the coming of Jesus Christ. We believe, dear God, that by your grace, by your election, you have made us part of this great ransom church that is saved to sin no more. Lord, tonight as we sit under the auspices of your word, may the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts, Lord. And may, dear God, the faith that is laid in our heart be perfected. Grant it, Lord. We pray and we ask these blessings in Jesus' wonderful name and for your sake. Amen. God bless you. Have a seat. Amen. So I want to take for the title tonight, Daniel's seventh seal vision. I preached my car seventh seal vision one time, but I'm taking this as a little inspiration here tonight as we take this final vision where Daniel had seen one like the Son of Man on the Lord's day, where he had seen this mighty angel with that open book where he saw that one who lifted up his hand and swear by himself when no other one could swear. And where he was told, seal up those things, Daniel. Just like when John saw it in Revelation 10, that great mighty angel who came down from heaven with that open book. And all these things, it's such a great parallel that we want to look into tonight. And I want to maybe just begin by reading a little bit of what Brother Branham said that I think is going to kind of help us do good, that we kind of lay this in here to bring our thoughts, because some of the things we just can't read in the Bible. I just can't read that in the Bible, but I want to show you how he presents that here, and then we can see the parallel, what he was looking at. So, in the message on Revelation Book of Symbols, page 10, we want to start. He says, remember the Bible that was taken out of the hand of God, sitting on the throne, it was closed and sealed with seven seals on the back. And no man in heaven and the earth, nowhere was worthy to take the book or loose the seals or even to look thereon, but the Lamb come and opened it. You remember Daniel? He says, you remember Daniel? Daniel at the end time, he saw a flash vision at the closing of his ministry. A vision's here. And now, it's good that he looks at Daniel, because in our study of this book, we found out that God kept his pattern the same way he started with the beginning of the Gentile dispensation. And the same way the Gentile dispensation came in, we found it was the same way it was going out. Do we find that to be so? Amen. In the time of Babylon, in the time of mystery Babylon today, there's an image worship, there's a prophet, there's a handwriting on the wall, there's an unknown language written in unknown tongues, is that right? And it was a sign of death and judgment, but there's a prophet there that could reveal these things. And we have found out that in the last days, so all these things have repeated itself again. And here is a prophet at the end of the Gentile dispensation, when he brings those things in, he points to us the great parallel, and he begins to show us the image worship that's being set up right now. And everything that don't bow down, God, image will be killed. He begins to show us the signs of the time, the handwriting on the wall in a mystery Babylon. Amen. That's built on a Euphrates River again. Is that right? And how Babylon is fallen, It's already been announced. Amen. Her sins have come right up into heaven. I'm beginning to see the handwriting on the wall already. And before that destruction strikes Babylon, here's a prophet begin to make known that the time of Babylon destruction is come. So all those things there was a perfect type, and we look at that and we see him here looking back at the closing of Daniel ministry, and he being a prophet like Daniel, because you see Daniel was one who brought out these great prophetic truths. He had these great visions when he saw what God was going to do. And I'm going to try to bring to you before we are closed tonight some of the things that Daniel saw, some of the things we have studied, because I want to use tonight to kind of recap this, because I'm trusting that by Holy Spirit we could be in chapter 12 and kind of finish up there, because I'm looking to see how things is fading out, because January the 15th, you know, they put that there as a deadline for war and all these things to make the strike and, you know, move right in there, because they have an agenda. Satan has an agenda. They have 1992 as the time there when they are going to bring that new superpower in Europe. And all now, all these things have been taking place, like the markets, and we've been taking that sun, the dividing of the land for gain. And these are not just presumptions. This is God opening the word and placing the modern events in the prophetic word to let us see that was spoken in the Bible. And especially Sunday, I believe the Holy Spirit brought that so clear Sunday, it shouldn't leave us to doubt, because we even went on the other side and took the kingdom of David and Solomon and showed the golden age and the millennium, because Satan, when he comes in his Eden to be enthroned over his Eden, was only a type of Adam over his Eden. God had built his Eden for 6,000 years, and now Satan is building his Eden for 6,000 years. And he's getting ready to be enthroned over his Eden at the end of his 6,000 years. But Adam in Eden was a type of Christ in the millennium. And Solomon on the throne was a type of Christ in the millennium. Is that right? Yes. Exactly. That we took Solomon on the throne, a type of the golden age, a type of Christ in the millennium. And we showed how He gave them peace and prosperity. It's the only time in Israel history when they had that type of peace and that type of prosperity. And when Christ comes, we are going to have 1,000 years of peace. And we're going to have that kind of prosperity again. And all the kings of the earth will bring the glory into that city. Is that right? Sure. And we took those things and proved those things by the Bible. And I trust you understood the message Sunday. I took it in Genesis, I took it in the middle of the Bible, I took it at the end of the Bible, and at that time I told you to read Revelation 18. And, you know, just Monday, the Holy Spirit was so strong still that I somebody just tell me, go in the room, and I just went in the room and begin to just, you know, I just felt like God wanted to talk to me, and I took my Bible again, and I went back, began to go back over my notes, and the inspiration there on Sunday. And then the Lord took me to Ezekiel 27, and when you go, you read Ezekiel 27 and 28. I don't have time to preach it, on it tonight, but, you're going to see how when the judgment come on Tyre and the king of Tyre, how Ezekiel spoke to Satan in the king of Tyre. He said, thou was in Eden. Because Tyre was a commercial city, and it showed when they were ruling the commerce of the world. And Satan was in flesh in that king when his city was ruling all the trade and commerce of the world. And how God destroyed Tyre by fire and threw it into the sea. And the whole message right there, which I could bring to follow it up, and maybe I might bring it later time. I tell you that you know what it is all about. I don't have to preach it, because we take those things in many different types in the Bible. Adonijah with Nimrod is just the same thing in different places in the Bible, but to prove the continuity of the scriptures and to prove how those things come and to show how it's coming right now. And that's why we took the dividing of the land. The division meant not just dividing to say you take piece of land, you take piece of land. It meant dividing it to profit by trade, by merchandise. And we took it over in Daniel, and we find out it was not in Nebuchadnezzar's time, it was not in the Medes and Persians' time, it was not in Alexander the Great time. It was said that in the time of Rome, he will cause craft to prosper, he will devour the whole earth. Is that right? Sure. And he's going to control trade and commerce, and then it says he's going to divide the land for gain. And then we took that in the Bible, how they divide the land for gain, what it means, all the trade routes, all the commerce, and these things, you must have it. And we took that in the Bible, and then show Revelation 18 was speaking about the great commerce and these things in the last days, what it's going to be, and how it's coming in right now. So I trust that that was real clear to you. I think the Spirit made it real clear and made that plain there that we can know it. You see, sometimes we sit here and we don't really get what the Spirit is saying. But I want to, you know, recap some of those things that we have studied and we have looked at, because where it comes right up when the Holy Spirit says, go into this book of Daniel, there in September, and we went in September. I came back in August from the trip overseas and from the communist countries there, and I came back, and then they had the coup in July the 27th. Then I started the calling of the 11th hour Gentile workers, and I took that, and we went to Revelation 7. And we showed that how he's holding them winds, and they couldn't blow, and all those things. And God bring those messages right there to show you what is happening. He's trying to seal those elected Gentile, our workers. And that's what he's doing. And those been placed out. And then we brought that up to the mark of the beast and the seal of God. And I told her, I says, we must go to Daniel, because how are we going to go to the mark of the beast and the seal of God? We don't go to Daniel, because it's in Daniel where all these things started to really unfold, to show in the last days in that fourth kingdom how all these things are going to come out. And we went to the book of Daniel because of what was happening and what Rome was doing, and we began to show that how what was happening right there in the Middle East. And I took that right from there, and for the 3 months while all these things have been happening out there and all these troops have been going in and all this have been taking place, while that was happening here, the Holy Spirit in the Word have been doing us here, because when they went in there and those things began to build up, the Spirit went straight to the Word. And I told you, I said, by the time we finish in the book of Daniel, what's going to happen there, it's going to be clear to you, because it's all laying inside of here. And we took the book of Daniel back and forth, those little subjects, we're going to pick up different subjects. And every time we pick up a subject, we had to go back and forth in the Bible with it, because it was all through the Bible. And we found out that the Holy Spirit gives the inspiration, and we make the little chart there to make it plainer that we will not miss what we are trying to bring and teach at this time. So, you know, there are a lot of things we have spoken. There's a lot of subjects we have opened up there, and each one by itself, you know, can take us many different directions. But
what we tried to do was just open up what God was showing Daniel concerning his people in the last days. Because when this whole things begin to break out there, who is going to get affected? Is Israel going to get affected? Everything is going back east now. You see, because on the west is finished. It's coming up to the opening of the sixth seal. And when the sixth seal open, California goes down, and brother, the Gentile world is in chaos here, and those things, and the bride goes, and then there's no gospel to preach here, because the gospel, those Moses and Elijah are going to rise up on that side. Then you're going to see international miracles and so on. See, on this side is a secret, is a revelation. The whole world will be able to look on television and see Moses and Elijah doing all kinds of different things. And they already think it's the environment falling apart. So when Moses and Elijah begin to, you know, shut the heavens and do those things, they're going to explain, the sun is going to explain, well, we told you that when you tell you about the planet of the year in 1988, and we told you that because of the, you know, the ozone hole was bursting. It's not these men causing those things. You understand what I mean? They already have all things documented. The whole world having environmental summits. They're not going to believe that. You understand what I'm saying? Because that is the big thing for every country. Even little Trinidad, they can't even see the map of the world. It's having environmental summits now. Everything is save the environment. Well, everybody being educated into it. All industries is being caused to bring out recyclable goods. That goods that could recycle. When you throw your garbage, it's not garbage that's going to cause more pollution, but garbage that could recycle. They're making them change up all these things now. They're bringing new laws because they're trying to halt the global pollution. So you're finding that when that happens, that wouldn't be no secret. This will not be a public show. That will be a public show over there. That will be a public show over there. But this and this is not a public show over here. You know what I'm saying? So you find it because the church will be taken away in secret, like Romeo stole Juliet. You know what I'm saying? And the Gentiles have been so smitten blind that they don't even know what's going on. Their minds are into so many different things because they have already completely rejected and turned down and crucified the message of the hour. They have crucified Jesus Christ a second time. So when that took place back there, they just went from darkness into insanity, from blindness into insanity, and just come, you know, to a place now where the prophet says is the insane age. While we've been restored back to the mind of Christ, they have gone into an insane mind. See, from darkness to death in Egypt was gross darkness upon the people, and the last plague was death. So you watch those patterns in the Bible. It's all laid out there to show to us the kind of hour we are living. So we don't know what is going to happen in the next few days, how things is going to take place. But I said nothing can happen except God allowed. War don't start because people set a deadline for war. War starts because God permit those things, political disturbance. But we took that when political disturbance comes, you know, that dies under those trumpets. Under those trumpets, we found so many different things. You see, about the nations, about Israel, about what's going to happen. And you know, Israel back there, we've been taking Daniel 70 weeks, everything is being turned back to Israel now. Because there's three prophets between that 6th and 7th trumpet. One to the Gentiles and two to the Jews. From that Gentile prophet, God goes to the Jewish prophets. God don't go nowhere else. No other nation don't have no revival. Have no national revival nowhere. It's an individual thing. The Gentiles have a revival in the last. The Gentile bride is revived back to the original apostolic faith. Then from there, it goes to the two Jewish prophets. It just prophets because there was no beast after the fourth beast. From that fourth beast, that eagle, it was an eagle age all the way out. Was an eagle anointing. Is that right? Because that was an eagle prophet when the seventh angel, he's a prophet, Malachi 4:5, an eagle prophet coming forth. Then when you see the Son of Man coming, where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. There's a whole group of eagles there still. And then go over to Moses and Elijah, eagles again. Is that right? So it's a whole prophetic hour. And that's why we are caught up in these prophetic things in the Bible. Because here's the hour when it's being unfolded to us. We can look and we can see how these things are happening. It's a great hour, friends. And that's why we need to know the word now, because What we are watching at now is the word of God coming to pass. And Jesus said, when you begin to see these things begin to come to pass, when you begin to see prophecy becoming history, not only do you know the hour is late, but it tells you that there's life in you, because you can know the word by what is happening. You are not knowing the word by what happened, you are knowing the word by what is happening. You can recognize the modern events becoming clear. What the world can't see, you can see, because your eyes are being anointed with eye salve. Like Jesus' disciples, the Son of Man, he had spoken to them. When these men are going to pass, let not your flight be in winter, night on the Sabbath day. Don't you in Jerusalem, you know, try to flee, you know, you in the field, don't try to come back to the city and these things. Is that right? They were watching for that sign. And that's exactly what the believer is seeing. They are glued, they are watching what is happening. See, because the Holy Spirit have wake us up. Seven thunders have wake us up. The whole world is saying, I know something going on, you know. I know God doing something, you know. But all the good people that feel the pull of the hour. They know God doing something, but they don't know what God is doing. The revelation is not to say God is doing something. The revelation is to know what is promised, what time it is, and recognize what is promised in that time coming to pass. And the consolation is to know you are part of it. That's the consolation, to know you are part of it. To see it in your very own life. Amen. And those are the things that we've been watching. Those are the things we've been studying. Those are the things we have been following this book of Daniel, placing out the time, identifying the prophecy, seeing how far advanced we have reached, seeing what is happening, what is yet to take place, and recognizing these things coming in. Now, if these things are not real to you in your world, and a little food and a little clothes is more real to you than those things, let me tell you, don't fool yourself. You don't have the Holy Ghost. Pray for the Holy Ghost. Because there's no way that the Spirit and them prophets who gave their life and shed their blood and was burned and never recanted, because they looked for these things. They know it was coming. They died in faith, not having received these things. They left the country and had no desire to go back. And you begin to see these things coming to pass and being identified, and the Spirit of God coming, a prophet, showed what time we are living in, throw that rock up and said, judgment has started in the earth. It will not turn back. It will begin to fill up and fill up and fill up until the whole world is filled with it. We see diseases coming in. We see plagues coming in the making, that medical science spending billions of dollars in all kind of projects trying to educate the people in every way. And there's no way they can stop it. No cure they can find for it. Because the wrath of God is coming upon them. They're rotten in the flesh. Everything else. And you see this is coming in. And the world do not believe that that is a sign, because they reject the message. But the Bible shows rejection of the message, the judgment follows. Judgment always follows grace. And mercy is sent by a prophet. And if you sat here all these years and you heard the message and you heard of a prophet and you never considered the purpose for sending a prophet. It's not every generation to see a prophet. It's not every age to see a prophet. It have all kind of men like to call themselves prophets. But here's one with the vindication. Amen. That Moses had. That Paul had. Amen. But one came back with the very ministry that Jesus had. More vindication than every prophet in the Bible. Amen. Because a more evil age. In the age when they have cameras, they have all kind of instruments that tested and examined everything. God fled them. Things in the sky, things in the midst, things, but everywhere in medical science. He give everybody something to look at to prove it was God or not. Why is God doing that? Why is he giving such vindication? Because when he judged this world and he poured out his wrath, there is no court of appeal. Amen. Hallelujah. There's no place they could say they didn't know about it. Amen. They could say they were confused or wondering, because the Holy Spirit made sure, but it swept the world seven times. That Jesus' words might be fulfilled. They are blind, follow the blind. They will all go in the ditch. Sure. Brother, when you look and you see that God do something like that, then it warns us. And we've been coming back and forth in with this word and in the book of Daniel and bringing these messages. It's been very painstaking sometimes to try to stay that long with one subject. But God is holding it, that we might see, that we might understand, that the things we are looking for, that we can, that to see what your crave is. You mean you've seen these things coming and you have a crave for what God promised? How else could you correctly relate to the promise of the hour without knowing what hour it is? Without knowing the lateness of the hour. But as God begins to bring us to the lateness of the hour, begin to identify and prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the time clock is striking the hour. That's later than you think. Then what happens? Then you look at your crave, because you know what God promised. We'll have to meet that challenge. And then you look at your own willingness and see if you're willing to pay the price to have what God promised. See? We all know there's a squeeze coming. We all preach about the squeeze. We all talk about the squeeze that's going to come and out to America and Revelation 13 and all these different things. We all learn the types in the Bible back and forth. But look how much in the last couple of years, the modern events that we have seen, that these things being fulfilled and the whole world being restructured right before our eyes, that even there is not a strange voice to hear them every day echoing these things in the land. See, within the region, it just tells us that how true God make them testify. And their voices is even a reminder to the Christian. Amen. But we don't have the opportunity to sit and wonder, you know, what next or what is going to happen or is it really late? Just hearing the conversation of the unbelievers, what they're looking for, what promise, what they're working to achieve, what they're becoming part of, what they're doing right now, testifies to us, amen, that God will move with his bride in such a way. And then you are as a believer, you know, and you watch something. I don't know if you look at it. I don't know what your personal experience with God is like. But you watch and see. If you have a revelation in your heart, and you're looking for these things, and your life is in consecration before God, and you're walking close to him, when you and believers of like precious faith get together, you watch and see what kind of atmosphere comes there. When you begin to talk about the word, and you get the feeling of the spirit, see what sort of happens among you. See? Tell me if it's not different. If you're not experiencing, well, I can't run for you. I can't give you no experiences. Back in 25 for your own self. With people you come together with, and you begin to talk the word to them, and you begin to share the word, and you begin to speak about the things of God, and the Holy Spirit just begin to come right there and move among the people. Amen. It don't have to be you know great spiritual people, anybody. You can testify of their hope that's inside of you, of their promise of the hour, of what God has done. Amen. You watch the reality of the word. You watch the quickening power come upon it. Look in the book of Daniel. From down, we strike this book here and get inside. Look at the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Look at the power of the revelation of the word. You see, not one service. Every time you get there to speak that word. Why? Because God word is true. God, you know, we are trying to congregate people, or we're just trying to convince ourselves of something and like a mind over matter and get positive thinking. No, sir. Those who have longed for these things, those who have looked for it, those who have walked close, those who have paid the price, those who have obeyed God's word, those who have stood for him, those who have borne the reproach. Sure. You watch and see how the Holy Spirit keeps his word. Amen. That I taught tonight, you know, as we strike these things, it would be good to recap some of the things. What was in my heart, because I'm bringing it up to our, we're in the last vision here from 10 to 12. We go right out, he's going to finish up the book of Daniel, and then it means to say, not that we finish with it and we're not going to look back at it. Because, I mean, every time we go back in there, it will come deeper and greater, because we hear it, but do we grasp it? We hear it, but do we see it? Is it real to us? That can only happen when the Spirit deals individually with you. I don't mean because we preach inside of here, everybody's still here anointed and know what's going on. I don't mean that. No, I don't mean that. Because the word goes over your head for yes and yes and yes. But those who hunger, those who take time to pray, those who steal away, those who wait before God, and say, Lord, your spirit is speaking, your spirit is saying something, amen. Your spirit is showing things. Because look by divine leadership, we went here, look at the things unfold. You don't open my book and just get revelation. God, when you have reason to make his word plain, he makes it plain. You know, it's a season for certain things to happen. He makes it plain that you can look and see and know the will of God. You could have true divine inspired leadership. Amen. You watch and see how the Holy Spirit, you know, he just takes care of things. He just takes care of it. I watch certain things that the Spirit just give by inspiration and spoke. I'm not just talking about like the word here in teaching. You know, things that come in your heart, what to do, decisions to make, do this, do that, do this. And you watch the anointing of the Holy Spirit get right inside there, and you watch God bless it. God honoring your word. God not letting it fall to the ground. See? And when that happens, sometimes you don't pay no attention to it, but he makes you notice it. He draws you back to it. He points you out to it. Points it out to you. Because he don't want you overlooking it, because he's doing it for a purpose. Amen. Looking for these things all these years. Waiting. Watching and waiting. Preaching. Hoping, trusting, believing, sacrificing. Amen. And seeing more and more of these things comes in. You're watching your own heart. You're watching your own life. To see the power of God rise. This is the faith, the confidence. Because you know you can't bluff it. You have to be inspiration. See the Spirit come close. You know he's going to come close. You know he's coming on closer and closer every day. Until he and his people be so one. Sure. But the bride is going to stand in a place that Isaiah tempted at all points and yet without sin. Satan will have no place inside of her. Then Satan will have no place inside the church. Amen. Then sin wouldn't be able to even stand inside the church. Yes, sir. Then evil wouldn't be able to stand among the people. Did the prophet say it? He said, love will come and take all evil out. Then he said, the Holy Spirit will take the unbeliever out. Is that right? Sure. Then he said, brother, there will not be a feeble one among you. Then even those who are among you, brother, and have missing limbs, he said, even them missing limbs will have to come back upon them again. Is that right? Sure. But we're not going down, we're going up. The bride is going up on them, up and up and up and up and up. It's getting greater and greater all the time. But where it starts with the unbelief in your own life. It starts with God rubbing that make-belief out. We want to see the unbeliever for the church go. But it starts in your life first. Many of you want the evil to be taken out. But it starts with you first. Got to get the evil out of you first. See? The prophet says the bride working the dynamics and a measure while the headstone is coming down. See? Coming down, what? A stone coming from the sky? What coming down mean? You know, sometimes we get language and we get all confused and we don't know what we're talking about sometimes. But brother, the Holy Spirit, remember, she nears the headstone too? She's growing up into the head, Paul says. Is that right? Ephesians 4. You grow up into the head as Christ. So brothers, you begin to look at the word and see how the Holy Spirit, you know, unfolds. And that's why, you know, you find that more you get quiet and you get into that personal life. You get into that inside life. Where you stand and you're looking back now. You see, the life that we have lived, we don't have as much years on the earth to live before the Lord takes us away than what we have already lived. In other words, we have more years from here go back. Not forward, like I made a statement the other night. I said I'm closer to 19 than 50. Amen. You see, because what is happening? We are reflecting back now. I have a lot to look forward to, sure, in this eternity, but it's not in this civilization. I have a few days to look ahead in this civilization. What I was put on the earth for, I have about lived it out. I've come to the end of my road. How much more can happen to me here? If God had to take me tonight or take me next week, I preach my message. Sure. I've given my years in the service of God. I've used up what I could use up. See, by leadership, where he sent me, I went. So I don't want to look for, I'm looking for to see him now. See, I don't have much more for me to do. Because I know the age, I know the program. When that seven seals started with a blast, it was running over the Gentiles. When the prophet gave his message here, all his years of ministry was from 65. He said, not the years of preparation. He said, go and talk about that. The first pull and second pull and getting the people attention. That was going to get them ready to hear the message that was coming. He said, that was the ministry right there. That was the years of preparation for that time. Amen. And you know, we look back, and that's why you see many of us sometimes we don't know what we're looking for, and we go along and we have opportunity to serve God, and we pass it off and we pass it off and we pass it off and we push it back and we push it back, and we get ourselves busy just doing things for the flesh, just living in temporal things, and we're wasting out them years, and we're wiping up that in years, and then you're starting to get tired in life now. You're starting to get weary. Your body cells begin to break down. Them rays begin to break down. You don't have much enthusiasm no more. And the food you're eating and living on daily, it has nothing to you know, give you no great big strength and bring you to, you know, place to go and do a lot of things for God. And that will be happening to many of us. And that time is going out, and we're looking for the coming of the Lord, and we're not looking back to see how we have served, what we have done. But every opportunity we get, we can really put our hearts in it. We can make sure he gets the glory out of it. Every time his spirit nudges us to do something, instead of putting it off or telling somebody else to do it, or you know, waiting until it gets convenient for us to do it. And then that time comes, the opportunity is unpassed. It's fruitless to go and do it at that stage. You know what I'm saying? Sure. Friends, let me tell you. You see, but I'll tell you what causes that. That causes a lack of walking close with him. You see, when you're not walking close with him, your mind can't be thinking his thoughts. You don't know he's leading. You live in a world where you talk about services like, you know, in a general sense. Well, we're serving the Lord. In other words, I ain't drinking, I ain't smoking anything. But like, what am I doing for him? What is the burden on my heart? What is the Spirit convicting me? What is the Spirit pressing me to get done? What are the things that he's pointing out to me? What are the things he's speaking to me in my heart about to see and to attend to? Amen. Because I have to appear before his throne any time he calls. And when he calls, I'll have to be ready. See. But when you look and you see that those things coming down true, and we watch it, and you see where we have come to now, and you see those things coming out, you know that when that dynamic strike in its fullness, friends, is over. He that has filled his God anointed church after the door was closed. In days of Noah, that rain fell when the door was already shut. You see? So then, you know, whether we have recognized his presence, whether we have recognized him in our midst in the fulfillment of his prophesied promises, or whether we are looking for great things that our five senses could see. But remember that the rapture was a revelation all these years. Remember the resurrection started inwardly all these years. Remember the outward changes and only a twinkle of an eye. Don't last longer than that. You can't make it last in a week and years and months. Don't make it that. It's only a twinkle of an eye. The split second and that you finish. Because what is going on unseen to the eye. That's why it takes faith to see it. He said, except you have the token to examine, it will pass right through you. Except you are part of that word, and that word becoming flesh inside of you, you have no real identification with that word. It may sound good to you, it may impress you, it may influence you, it may scare you, it may kind of work you up sometimes, but watch, that feast don't hold out. That kind of feast don't hold out, except it's on the inside of the inside, where you've been born again by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you feeding upon that word daily, and that is your life. Amen. Otherwise, you just have church membership. You don't warm in a bench when you're coming out in the atmosphere, when you're coming out understanding the revelation, when you're coming out, you're not receiving it really, when you're coming out, you're not recognizing your sins and laying aside these things. Amen. Don't wear a doubt to, amen. You're not really in service walking with him when you leave this building. Many people's service is finished from the time they're coming to the door and they leave the door. The service will be right inside of here. The service of God will be inside this building. Amen. These are the service of God here. No, sir. Glory. See? So when you look and you see those things moving up, it ought to bring you to a place that, to make you look at your own self and see how you are walking. See how the Holy Spirit is speaking, directing you in the Word. You will know when that turn comes. Amen. But the type of expectation we the bride will be having soon. Amen. You look at the great, anointings and all these different things. When that comes, you know what the expectation you're going to have? Is to start to see sleeping ones. Amen. Expectation. When God begins to post us and let us know where we at, what time it is, what is happening, it puts us under expectations. What do you think the Holy Spirit has been posting the church for? Everything happens, he posts us. Everything happens, he posts us. So, but let me tell you, the work can make everyday living now. Because things happen all around you and it's clear. You can read the handwriting on the wall. It didn't get over the guy revelation of what's going on. Because every spirit is identified. And when your eyes become anointed, you see every spirit in every realm. You can look in the political realm, you can look in the religious realm, you can look in the spiritual realm, the social realm. It's all identified in the Bible. It just matures, and the same thing gets mature, and all the seeds come into a harvest. So you don't have to look to see what's going on. You have to follow what's going on. Amen. When a prophet came and he opened the Bible, he showed us what is going on. He identified to us where it's at. Is that right? Amen. Let me go back to the quote here now. I get that out of my heart because I'll tell you that a little later, but it just come out up front. You see, I want to recap some of those things since we've been inside of here. And what's been coming through? Been coming through a time here in the Word. Been coming through a time in understanding. It come like we spent 3 months and we walk out. We was in a field here and we was gleaning and we was pulling. What do we have in our bags after these 3 months? What did we draw there? What did the Spirit struck us with? It makes me wonder sometimes if we are catching what the Spirit is saying. I said, but when in the Word, you just watch when believers get together to fellowship, you just watch the Spirit move there. Amen. Such a grace come right there. Whatever word you pick up to speak is anointed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. God showing you what to do, what He wants done with the Word of God. The bride has the mind of Christ. And she knows what He wants done with the Word. That's not a quote, friends. She has knowledge of God to know her age, to know her program, to know the part of the scripture she's fulfilling. She has faith to believe it, to hold and anoint it and see it become manifest. It has been revealed and she has virtue to give out the strength that is around her. Amen. She has temperance so she don't get caught up in Christmas atmospheres and all different things and go ahead to skeleton and trying to find back your bearing as a believer afterwards. She has no paganism to interbreed with this message. No, sir. Thinking has already been filtered by them things already. She has a holy man taste. Amen. She's not craving them natural gifts to go and buy money outside here. She craving the unspeakable gift. Amen. The token, the real gift of God. Yes, sir. See? But you look and see. I mean, Christmas season starts so long for us. From the time you see the gifts that was identifying the Word. Amen. Yes, sir. From the time you start appearing in the East and being the leaders of the Word made flesh. From the time you come to Bethlehem and everybody was known born in Bethlehem. Amen. From the time the shepherd said, the Messiah is on the earth. And the seventh seal brings him back to it. Christmas is on. Amen. From the time God wrapped gift coming this day. Hallelujah. And unveil the mighty God before us. Wrap up in a man called William Branham. Amen. To reveal the Son of Man again. We know it's Christmas time. Glory.
We're going to have a full word born back in the manifestation and vindicated by the Spirit of God in full strength. We don't wait for this. No, sir. Glory. Amen. Well, you want some tree, the gift hung up on it when the real gift was hung on a tree already? Back there at Calvary, amen. Hallelujah. You don't want all this nonsense. You want to get some little old star to point up that tree? When the bright and morning star himself, he is both tree and star and gift. Amen. And giver. And he don't come down with a chimney, come into your heart. Amen. He get down to your reason and maybe blow all your old suit out. Amen. To get down inside of there. That's where you want to get into. Amen. Yes, sir. So, brother, when we get into the real, we don't want to make believe. We don't want to make believe. No, sir. Glory. My. This climax time. This book of Daniel like a great pyramid. Now we in the capping part of it now. And look at this. He says, remember the Bible which was taken to the hand of God. Brother Branham bringing this a mystical revelation book of symbols. And he was that prophet to unveil those symbols. There wasn't going to be a man on the earth to stand to reveal what was in that book except him. He was put here for it. The book was going to remain sealed until the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Amen. Then when his time of preaching comes, in that time, that author of the book himself, who came to Moses and he wrote the Old Testament, who came to Paul and he wrote the New Testament, is going to come back to him. And he's going to reveal the secret of the entire book. And he said, no man in heaven or earth, nowhere was willing to take that book or loose the seals. Or even look thereon, but the Lamb come and open it. He said, you remember Daniel? And he looks at Daniel, he said, Daniel at the end time, he saw a flash vision at the closing of his ministry, a vision seer. And look here, sent his angel. You talking about how Revelation 1 says, I, Jesus, sent my angel. And he said, Daniel, when he was closing his ministry, a great prophet, there was an angel that followed him. And the angel told Daniel, said, you are beloved before God. I have a little vision here in my mind tonight. Where Daniel was there at that river, down by the riverside, and he looked up and he began to see the heavens, that heavenly vision unfold. He began to see a person standing there. And when he saw that vision, the power of that vision, he said, my comeliness was turned to corruption. And as he lay there, and then being awakened, he was being told, he said, you are greatly beloved in heaven. Oh my, if we could put ourselves right there, if we can see that God have not put us in any other situation, because we are seeing that same vision in reality, and we are recognizing we are beloved because we have been accepted in the beloved. Amen. We were the ones that was taken out his heart. Amen. The left side there, where that rib was taken out to reveal that feminine part. That was us. Amen. Who he had right close to his heart there. And our names was in that book. Now watch. He said, and Daniel said, you are beloved before God. And Daniel couldn't talk perhaps face to face with God. And God sent an angel, an intermediate between him and God, that he could talk between them and bring the angel. Very word of angel means a messenger. He says here, and then Daniel closing, at the last he's seen the angel come down, put one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, a rainbow over his head. He raised his hand, swore by him that lives forever and ever, that time shall be no more, at the finishing of the time, that he told him. In other words, he's talking about Daniel now. Now we know we didn't just read it all like that here, but we are going to pick up in chapter 12, where the angel at the end of the vision. You see, part of the description is given here, part is given in chapter 12. But one vision. But the prophet, speaking about his last vision, speaking about chapter 10 and 12 in Daniel, he says here, and he told him in other words that this body of time that we are living in now, from the time the coming of the prince until this day, and said at that time the mystery of God should be finished. Because Daniel was told, sealed up Daniel, is for the time of the end. Amen. And that's the time we're in. The time of the end. Sirs, is this the sign of the end? What time is it, sirs? Sirs, is this the time? That's what he's talking about. Looked at the message. The title of the message was, "Is this the sign of the answers?" Because when those seven tongues uttered their voices, the next thing was, "Time shall be no longer." Now we want to look and see if Daniel saw the same thing John saw. I'm going to prove to you he did see it. The prophet said it. The inspiration God gave us to make it plain that he did say it. Verse 12. So remember, Daniel was told by the angel. Daniel heard seven thunders. Never hear a man say that beside the prophet. He said all them teachers write in Revelation. They talk about churches, they talk about seals, they talk about trumpets, they talk about vials, but they never spoke on the seven thunders. But it was written for a purpose, he says. And here when he came, he began to show that those seven thunders had to utter its voices in this day. And it was going to come to that seventh angel messenger, because in his time the mystery will be finished. And you're going to find why now, for the past few messages, every time we come to the pulpit, the Holy Spirit pick up that seventh angel, pick up that message of that prophet, and show why God needed a prophet in the last days. Why it was so necessary that he could not just be a good man. Why it just couldn't be another inspired man. But why it had to be a prophetic gift. Because there was mysteries that were sealed up that was needed to be revealed if the church was to be called out and be made ready for the rapture. Amen. And here he comes, and he began to make those things plain. And he said, Daniel was told by the angel, he heard them seven thunders, they heard their voices. Daniel grabbed his pen and started to write, and the angel said, "Don't you write it." Amen. "Don't you write it." He said, John saw the same thing, and it had already been written outside the Bible, and the seven seals on the back of the book, and that no man could open those seals. That was them voices. No man could open them seals. Those seals, that was them voices. Way back there, you know, back in 1970, in the early 70s, is where all these things started. Seven thunders, and oh, people didn't realize a promise. People realized it was in the message. Amen. And all kind of different interpretations, ideas come and have swept the world. All kind of movements have started. All kind of divisions have taken place. All kind of camps have been established. But yet he says, any man who has them seven thunders is going to compare with the entire book. Amen. Any man who has them seven thunders must show. Out of them ages come them seals, out of them seals come them trumpets, out of them trumpets come them vials, out of, and must have that, reveal that new name that is in that seven tongues also, to show it got that revelation inside of you. Exactly right. Can't be no little piece of truth here. No, it must be from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Glory. When Brother Abraham came, he said that is what them seals all about. He had that message. He brought them seven thunders, and he scattered it out across the message. Amen. And he says, I'm laying out for you sermons. I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit to anoint me and show me which one of them mysteries to open up. Amen. Because every message laid under a seal. A man may not even know it, but whatever he's preaching is coming from under a seal. If there is getting inspiration. But that people preach from under the seals and didn't even know it had seals. And those seals had those mysteries sealed up that they was preaching. Sure. Because you're not getting nothing, that those seals, that's the book in its entirety. It was sealed up in the book. Is that right? And one plan of redemption that was sealed up in seven seals. What Luther was preaching was coming under the seals. What was this preaching coming under the seals? What the Pentecostal preaching coming under the seals? Amen. What Paul was preaching coming under the seals? Where did he preach 1 Thessalonians 4? Did that come under the seals? Amen. Where did he preach one God, no eternal hell, all these things? Did that come under the seals? Sure. Where did he preach marriage and divorce? Back in Corinthians, did that come under the seals? Where he said, not the Lord, but I. Amen. Sure. Glory. And so men have preached and preached and preached, but then we find out that message laid there and says, I am scattering it out, but I am giving you enough that you will be able to dovetail all scripture. See that's why it frightens people sometimes when you're going to begin to say certain things. Amen. When you're going to preach the new name, when you're going to preach them things, but the blessed and only potentate, when you preach them seven trumpets and those seven vials, it frightens people. They feel like you're threatening wrong, it shouldn't go on. But yet the messenger put that in the book to thus tell all scripture. Amen. It just shows the same Holy Spirit coming back to pick it up and bring it back, and it confirms and crystallizes the message without leaving spare parts. Amen. Glory. Regardless of what book you want to go into, amen. Whether the book of Ruth or the book of Esther, you need no courts to go in the book of Esther, amen. The Holy Spirit, amen. Tying the message together, so always in the book of Esther. In the book of Ruth, wherever you go, it's right inside of you. Amen. God be praised, amen. Glory. God keeps his promise. God loves his people. God knows what we have need of. God remembers. Amen. And when the challenge rises and the church needs an extra help of faith, the Holy Spirit brings another wave of faith, another wave of inspiration, another wave of divine revelation. Amen. When things is happening in the earth and people are all confused and they don't know, they can't see the channels through which the enemy is coming, how the prophecies are coming to pass, then the Holy Spirit comes and begins to find those things and place it back in the message. Amen. That we will not be left without understanding, but that the church will know how far we have advanced. Amen. So remember, he said, Daniel Graham is paying to write it. Holy Spirit said, don't you write it. John saw the same thing. It all would have been written in the outside of the Bible and not seven seals in the back of the book. Here's the Bible written, which is a mystery in itself, but on the back side of the book, the revelation was shown to Daniel, says that there are seven voices to be uttered, that no man, you see, and people all get trouble with the seals in the back of the book. They know that seals in the inside of the book. But when you took the message, the seal of God, you know what the seals in the back of the book was. And you watch anywhere he ever preached that. And the breach, Revelation chapter 5, anywhere he goes to that scripture, he brings the seals in the book, and then he goes to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the seals on the outside of the book. Amen. The word is in the book. And the Spirit, the reveal of the word, is on the outside of the book. Amen. And the Spirit in man is revealing the mystery that is in the book. Christ revealing himself and identifying his own self in every age. The Holy Ghost was in Martin, amen. And Martin stood there on the outside of the book and was preaching what was in the book, fighting to bring back what Paul preached, amen. Holy Spirit and Luther, amen, inside, on the outside of the book, rose up there, picked up that mystery under the third seal, began to blast it forth and start a reformation, amen. Call up people out of Catholicism, amen. Glory. And that Spirit was sealing him up with the revelation that the Spirit was teaching. It must be the Word Himself and the Word itself in every age, always. Because the final interpretation of all revelation is in flesh. But I'll be uninspired. I'll be a false teacher to bring a revelation of Jesus outside of myself. I'm talking about something I'm not experiencing. I'll be talking about something that I'm not part of. I'll be talking about something I'm trying to contact by imagination and mental understanding. But Christ in you is the hope of glory. And in that day you shall know I in you and you in me. Amen. Then you know a man teaching is correct. Then you know he's inspired. Then you know he's the same God. Because when that Spirit, he said when the Spirit of truth come. Amen. Not floating around. It was in Paul. Amen. He took the scriptures. Glory. And he began to bring the revelation. What Jesus had really come to do. Jesus said they couldn't be it. They only knew as reporters did, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But it needed somebody to divide the age. Amen. Bring them into a new relationship from under the schoolmaster to a son. To call God your father now, Abba Father. Amen. Glory. To know you are genes expressed. Amen. Coming back into full manifestation. Hallelujah. And when Christ was being formed in Paul, amen, then he could preach that mystery. Glory. Amen. He says, why? He said, God separated from his mother's womb to reveal his son that he might preach him. And what he was preaching to them, he was travailing, waiting, amen, until it was forming them too. that God be in the pew, pulpit, and God be in the pew. Hallelujah! Yes, sir. Let me tell you, sometimes people don't realize the early church. Let me tell you, they sit there, they understood what's happening, brother. They knew that eternal life was in them. He said, we don't preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, our Lord, and ourselves, your servant, for Jesus' sake. John says, he said, this is from the beginning. Amen. See, this eternal life. He said, and we want to declare unto you the fellowship we have with the Father. Is that right? He wasn't bringing something outside. There was testifying that the word was made flesh. They had seen it, they looked upon it, they handled it. Amen. It dropped the flesh off. Amen. And it came back on the day of Pentecost and it came inside of them. The same God that was in Jesus was condescending. Not a second person coming on the day of Pentecost. But the same God, Jehovah, came back inside his church. God above us, God with us, now God was in us. The same God all the time. Amen. They understood that clearly. They had that revelation. And that was the faith, the foundation that they laid. That was said, no man after the flesh. Amen. They was talking about that Jesus back the air. Who the hunted and fish with. But John said, Jesus is come in the flesh. Who don't believe that is not of God. You just believe that Jesus has come in the flesh. Don't just try to hold on. No, Jesus after the flesh back there. Change form. He had a morphe. From the pillar of fire to the prophet, son of man. Then he had morphe to the bride. Amen. Who was continuing the same ministry in a many-membered body. Glory. Same God. You don't change. And friends, that's the pattern. That's the pattern right back there. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. So notice here. I don't know why we keep doing that, but it's good. Bible said it told Daniel and John the last days, these seven voices will be known by the real true church. Get this. Oh, it's a statement. You can't miss it. It's not just a statement, but it's a fact. Everything is based upon it. Daniel heard the seven times, they also John. And they was told that in the last days, these seven voices would be known by the real true church. You can, he said, you get it? Can you see where the false and counterfeit is trying to their best to keep great men from places like that? He said, the false and the counterfeit is trying to keep you away and tell you, you can't stand in that place and get them seven voices, but it will be known by the real true church. What them seven thunders went bang, 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 unfolding seven times. Amen. And then unfolded into something like that passing on our language. Amen. He said, you are going to be made known by the real true church in the last days. Glory. Get this now. Page 139. Ephesians 8. Here it says this now. He says, now there are seven seals. If we just take the complete book of Revelation, that seal on the backside, the back of the book, it ain't even written in the book. It was hidden in the book. That's what it really was. And them seals have to be opened during this church age, and the seven last mysteries of God, they are made known. Oh, I'd like to just keep it all winter and go through it. Yes, sir, the seven church ages. As Daniel heard the seven thunders and forbidden this Ephesian age, Revelation of Jesus Christ series, page 139. And John heard the voices, and this book was sealed, and the back of the book was sealed with seven seals. But in the days of these seals to be opened, the mystery of God will be finished. In other words, God would be known to his church when them seven thunders bang out among that little group across the world. Yeah. Amen. In them little local churches there, where they're sitting under that inspiration. He said God would be revealed. The mystery of God would be revealed. God would be known to his church. You'll walk in a church and try to say that's God, and they stop you and say that ain't God. Amen. 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 They try them spirit to see whether they have the word. Amen. Because why? There'll be another Ephesians at the end of the ages. Amen. There'll be people again who will see the fullness of that revelation. The mighty God will be unveiled before them. Christ, the mystery of God would be revealed right in the midst. They will come back to one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
They will know how to baptize, how to dress. They will know how to serve God. They will know God is not three and four people. Amen. They will know who they are. They will know what the real evidence of eternal life. You're not going to walk in there with no sensations and no little outward manifestation and try to say that is God and that is the evidence. No, so they will know and be able to divide manifestation from evidence. Amen. Amen. God will be known. That's a problem today. God is not known by many people who claim to be God's people. But God would be known by the real true church. That's the purpose of sending these seven thunders in the last days. No wonder a man could take his family. No wonder a man could stand with his family. Amen. And reflect the very mystery of God to him, because God is known to his church. They know they are part of God. They know they are offspring of God. They know they carry the traits of God. They know they have the marks of God, the identification of God characteristics in them. Amen. Yes, sir. Their children are looking for the astronauts to come back with some understanding about if they see God up in space. Their children say, I see God in my daddy and God in my mommy, amen. I see God in the people where I go to church. I know God is real, amen. I have not come in the sky, dear. Because they see God and recognize God and say, I handle God daily, amen. God has wiped my tears when I cry and lift me up and put me on his shoulder. Glory to God, amen. Hallelujah! God has speak to me the word of God and take my fears away. God has revealed his love to me, amen. Glory, God has break the power of sin around my life. When I need a good shaking, God has shake me, amen. And wake me up to, amen. Glory. When I need anchoring, God has anchor my soul, amen. Though there are storms all around, I have peace, amen. That passeth all understanding. Why? They know God. God is real to them. It's not no make-believe religion. It's not a place to go to church. You only have fellowship with those of like precious faith when you go to church. Amen. But God is inside of you. See? He says, and that, watch now, those seven tongues he's talking about, when it's revealed. That's why I tell you, many people, you know, they talk about seven thunders. They use the quote, they use the terminology seven thunders. But they don't know what it is, and the churches are dead, and the people are confused, and the people have no discernment, they can't tell the difference of God or man. They're all confused there. See? But then you look and you find where the people have been taught, where they've been established in the word, where they've been weaned. Whom shall I teach knowledge and make them understand doctrine? Them that are weaned. Them who take off their breasts, because he that drinketh milk is unskillful in the word. He that eateth manna in their journey, but is still a baby, amen. But when you cross over that Jordan, you doubt yourself and you can eat the corn of the land. Amen. The strong things. Amen. To bring you, to show you who you are. Amen. To show the sovereign grace of Almighty God. Then you're going to find people that is anchored. People without fear. And when you find a people without fear, you can see a people that has been made perfect in love. Because he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Fear hath torment. Amen. But when the love of God has been shed abroad in their heart by the Holy Spirit, when he speaks that word and reveals the secret of God to them. Amen. It's a difference. He says, and when them seven voices is to be made known, the counterfeit is trying to keep men from that place. And look at Brother Brown. You think he didn't know what? He knew that was his place where he had to stand. And Dr. Davis was trying to keep him from there. He said, Billy, you're trying to preach apostolic age, boy. Nobody going to listen to you that gospel. That day's finished. He said, Dr. Davis, I met an angel. I don't know who you meet and who ordained, but I met an angel. Amen. Glory. He spoke to me. Amen. He showed me my name in this book here. And I'm ready to face the world with a seventh grade education. If God said they'll be there, they'll be there. Amen. Glory. Let me tell you, no man was going to keep him back from them places. He went out there with Jack Moore and Dimo Shakiri and oh, and all them fellas there. You know, Gordon Lindsay. Oh, they just loved the healings. They were becoming great personalities and well known, and a lot of money was coming in because they was handling all the affairs of the prophet and all around him and everything else. And but the gift was drawing the people, but he wasn't even interested in all what was happening. He was just getting ready for a message that his heart was burning for. He knew that gift, that first pull was only catching a little fish. He said, I see that I didn't even want it to begin with. Amen. He threw it back in the water. Had little spots on them. But watch him there. While he stood there. Amen. He knew that one day them seven voices, them seven thunders, amen, was going to come for a message from heaven, a divine revelation. You talk about power, amen. Hallelujah. You talk about power. When the word begin to open up, when the word begin to get past your flesh, and it's just something that you, oh, I feel nice, it go past the nice feeling, amen, it get down to your spirit inside of the air and begin to rub the make belief out, all your reason, your imaginations, all your worldly affections and these things, begin to bring you to the waters of separation, because he want to bring you into the inner veil. He want to get into the third cork, amen. He want to get on the inside of the inside down in there, where you can anchor that soul, give your hope steadfast and sure, amen. Where you have to rent that veil of self-will and get inside of there, where the word could be anchored down inside of there, to show you, you could become one with God if you are a son of God, amen. Because this is that age. He went out there and he watched the men when the gift was coming and they like it, and he couldn't stay there. He would start tramping on that mountain and being to launch out into the world, because when the anointing come and they were looking for the prayer for this and pray for that one, he wanted to jump in the Bible. And when he go in the Bible, things is opening up, and that was thrilling him more than the bunch of people who was coming for bread and fish. And they couldn't understand why he being to lay aside these things. And he says, you're going to ruin your ministry, don't preach, amen. Just pray for the sick. That's where you're popular. We'll take you to the nerve centers. Everybody going to receive you, Brother Branham. Oh, it sounds good. You're going to build your own school, leave a monument in your name. That sounds good. He didn't want that, brother. He went across Jordan and doubted himself, because there was a reality. There was something his soul was crying out for. There was a deep calling unto the deep. He didn't want no fame and popularity. That's in the human spirit, amen. That's where the rich young ruler and all them get trapped there, amen. He didn't want that. He was going past there. He was an eagle from the egg, amen. He had an eagle desire. Glory. But he began to go out into the world, and they tried to keep him from there, from that great place. But God showed a bird in the dream. He was standing in a light, like a pyramid preaching. Amen. He said, brother, he said, you just walk and say it's true. Don't try to come up here. God had a poor man here. Another time he's on a white horse, a man trying to ride his horse. He said, no, he said, you get off this trail, go and ordain a man to ride here. Glory be in the finest place in the world. When that sword dropped him, he said, fit my hand. Glory! He said, bring on the holy vesture in this world laying there. Hallelujah! Oh, he had become one with his message, brother. He looked in that Bible he had heard from his theophany, amen. He knew that was him. He knew the Bible was written for him. Glory! Oh, I'd like to say this in the pulpit, it's misunderstood many times, but I know when that unknown language flew past there, oh my, I know it has been revealed, I know it has been made plain, I know God take from Eve, coming out to Adam's side, all the way to Revelation 10 to 11, all the way to Revelation 22, and prove in every shadow and type what that part of the word is. Amen. Glory. God prove. It's a part laying there for their pride, amen. A greater than Sarah, greater than Esther. Well, many men pick up and run it, but as Moses said, I would that all man prophesy. Amen! I would that all man prophesy. Glory! Thank you, Jesus. But what it is those seven voices coming to make other men stand in that place. Glory, being a church that church will know God. She don't have to argue. God speaks for her. Amen. Glory. The prophet said, when that seventh angel come, he won't have to argue with them. God will speak for him by supernatural vindication. Glory. Who is that in the mighty cloud? Amen. Who is that? Yeah. Glory to God showing a covenant of grace. Is God speaking? Amen. Let man say the one. God identify himself. Glory. And the word never ceases to come forth. God will find people he could veil himself in for the final ride. There is a people, amen, that God will veil himself. You know, one of these days, that same man is with the lunch bag over his arm, that woman over the wash tub, but God is veiling them and will reveal himself in them like in times past, one of these days. Are you looking for it, my brother? Oh, my. Are you looking for it in your own life? Hallelujah! In your own life, in your own home, let the very God of heaven, the very God of creation, I will dwell in them and walk in them, saith the Almighty. I will be their God and they shall be my people. He that overcometh. Amen. Yes, sir. Glory. God and His people. Let us see God. We saw God in His creation. We saw God in His Word. We saw God in His Son. But now let us see God and His people in this final ride. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Glory. There's this quote I'm trying to get. Daniel heard them seven thunders. You see, I want to bring that, but not just about Daniel, about us. Amen. Because my vision is a people that's greatly beloved of God. When the seventh seal broke, when Daniel saw the seventh seal, up till that time he had only seen Gabriel. Up till that time he had only heard voices. But in this vision, the last vision, he saw Michael. Amen. Hallelujah. Your prince, Daniel. Amen. Yes, sir. Saw Michael. Amen. Who's going to stand for his people? He saw his people being overcome by the beast. He saw all kinds of things happen to them people. But then he saw the prince, your prince Daniel. Hallelujah! Who will stand in the last days? Oh my! And to know that there are seven trumpets is our seventh seal. Hallelujah! Who's standing for us tonight? Amen. Who said how we are tonight? Who is here amongst us tonight? Oh my, who has come down to stand to deliver them names as written in that book? Glory! Who has them seven thunders under that mighty angel with the open book? Who is that angel in Revelation 10:1? Go back to 1980, amen. Showers of revelation. Oh, they sang it, but the anointing is only in the spirit, but they were singing about somebody who the world would become in flesh, amen. Showers of revelation fall. Seven voices thundered out in Barataria, amen. Glory be to God. Still thundering in 1990. Hallelujah. Speaking about his seven thunders tonight. Glory be to God, amen. Yes, sir. Who is the man walking on a pillar of fire? Glory. Amen. The same angel all his years. He's the one that opened them seals, amen. Glory be to God. He's the one with a silver sword. Who is this Melchizedek always changing form? Thank you, Jesus. They will be, the God will be known to them. They will not be confused. He can change them for me one. They know him. From the time he opened his mouth, he said, there he is. Here he is. Here he is. Here he is. Speaking his word. Oh my. That word never changes. That's him. He and his word is one. He is his own word. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes, sir. Amen. Remain known by that true church. They will be worshiping the living Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise God. Amen. Out of the mouth of babes, God will perfect praise. Amen. That is the new wine, the Holy Spirit in this world. Amen. Blessed be his name. Oh my brothers and sisters, let me tell you, the word of God is true, amen. The word is real, the word is right. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Is the first time he's hearing them seven thunders really thundering down inside of the air? Oh my, many of you sit down under all them years, but glory be to God. Yes, sir. Daniel heard them seven voices. It'll be made known by the real true church. Glory, glory. Amen, amen. My. And hear what he says here. He says the mystery of God will be revealed. And when that was completely revealed, then the seven mysteries were open to the church. Because in there, the church would be living under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Him moving in and out and showing his signs of being alive and amongst us, living among us, and we are then worshiping the living Christ that's among us.
How many remember in the message Christ is the mystery of God revealed? Look at it there, somewhere page 92, as the prophet had finished up the message,
And he's talking about a pillar of fire, talking about the wind cloud mystery and all of those seven thunders. Look at Life magazine, showed those seven thunders. And he talked about that same one with Moses in the wilderness, the pillar of fire, the same one with Paul, or the same one he said amongst us. He said, that's the one we are worshipping this morning in the church. What it was, he had brought the church into that place. Those seven thunders had opened up, revealed them seven seals in the midst, called them out to organizations, filtered the thinking from all man-made ideas of denominationalism. Amen. Purged the old leaven of man-made teaching away from them and brought them to feed on the unleavened bread of his word. Amen. And inside of there, they knew God was not up in the sky, because they were seeing how God was keeping his divine promise. A threefold mystery of his coming was right there unfolding before them. They knew of Jesus in bright form. Amen. They saw the sign that God was a man. Amen. When he came to Abraham like a prophet, where he knew the secret of their heart before he burned the Gentile world with fire, they begin to see God amongst them. Can't you see why I'm happy? Because we have accepted the word of the Lord, the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi 4. Oh, I'm so glad, amen, for them seven angels. Hallelujah! I'm so glad for those seven thunders, amen. I'm so glad tonight those seven voices called my name. It was like music in my ear. Show me I was splashing the blood. Amen. Thank God I'm free. I'm free from this world of sin. Hallelujah. Oh, my, worshiping the living Christ in amongst them. Why? Because they can recognize his presence. Because those seven times shows them how he promised to reveal himself in this time. It shows them what age they live in and what scripture to look for him being revealing. Because he comes in the fulfillment of his own prophesied promise. And he allots his word to a time and a season. Amen. And he unveils himself to his own word. Glory. So they see him, they recognize him, and know he's God keeping his word. And no wonder, oh my, they begin to write songs and sing and worship God. Because how else could they worship the living Christ moving in and out amongst them? They've not seen him present tense to sing of what he's doing right amongst them. Hundreds and hundreds of songs, amen, a revival breaking out. Oh my, God always must be misunderstood. Not always accepted, always misunderstood. Amen. True signs overlook always. Glory. My. In his presence. Another one, 1962. Just can't get off these quotes, but I want to show you. He said Daniel heard them seven thunders. And what those seven thunders are going to do, because why I want to strike that good. When we know what it did for us, when John heard it and Daniel heard it, and our prophet came and revealed it, then the Jews, their prophet is going to come and reveal it too. And if it calls us out of man-made traditions, denominational traditions, back to the original atonement, it will call them out of Old Testament traditions to recognize the living word too. Exactly. If we had to go beyond the camp of man-made organizations, they had to go to the camp of that old temple worship and all these things to be identified with the word coming through the lips of them prophets. Yes, sir. Man, you crazy? You're a Jew. You walk out of the temple and the sacrifice here and these things and go and get baptized, some strange thing? This is our fathers believe. He said, yeah, but this only testify of this. This is the reality. Amen. Hallelujah. Here they are. This is the word for the hour. Oh my. Yes, sir. No wonder many will curse them and say they lost and everything else. But brother, not when they see God give them two wings of a great eagle to fly into the wilderness where they'll be safe. Glory. In his presence. 962, he says here, he said, I think if the Lord willing, I want to take the next time we start on the seven seals on Revelation and the seven natural seals, and then if we get through in time, take the seven seals in the back of the book. Now, that may take a little time, see? See, it opened up the seven churches already. Pillar of fire come down right on the wall. People sat there and saw a handwriting on the wall. Supernatural. And a prophet there could reveal those things. Amen. It's in the Bible. It wasn't strange. It wasn't there in a corner. hundreds of people sat and saw it. How many thousands and tens of thousands even saw it when he stood there and we called them out. Taken by rules upon rules, called them out. Even foreign languages, everything else. Listen. He says, see, there are seven seals. That's open. There are seven plagues, seven trumpets. All those seven. And them seals we could take first. But then on the back of the book is sealed with seven seals. Daniel heard the voice as it thundered and was forbidden to write it. The reason I'm reading all the different quotes to show he's not making a statement passing. It's something he kept on saying for years and years. Because Daniel 10 and Revelation 10 is the same. In Daniel 10, Michael Christ came down. In Revelation 10. You see, it wasn't supposed to have no chapters 11 and 12. The scholars put that in there because it was too long, a vision. But I had one vision. So Daniel only really had 10 chapters. See? And in those 10 chapters there, it's there where Michael will stand with the open book. That mighty angel he saw, that supreme judge, who he saw with eyes like a flame of fire and face like the sun and feet like brass and mouth like a multitude of waters and these things. He saw the same thing. And when was that? In the Lord's day. That was the seventh seal. Revelation 10 is that seventh seal. That's his coming. Is that right? Yeah. Now, see, Daniel saw the three comings of Christ. We're going to get to that. We got to close. Hey, 9:15. I'll close with that. Amen. See, Daniel saw the three comings. So he said, John was forbidden to write it, but it was still in the back side of the book. That is, after all the mystery of the book has been given out and revealed. You notice Daniel said, the mysteries in the days of the voices, the mystery of God should be finished by that time. See? The mystery who God is, how he is made flesh. All these things should be unfolded by that time. Because those seven thunders, Revelation 10, 1, a mighty angel come down with an open book. Revelation 10, 3 and 4, he cried seven other voices. Revelation 10, 5 and 6, he swears. Revelation 10, 7, the mystery of the whole book is open. See? All who he is, how he's made flesh, how he came and died and everything, how he come back in his church, how he redeemed his church right back to the Garden of Eden. And I want to show Daniel saw all those things. Daniel did see all them things. Remember I said Daniel's seventh seal vision. He saw it. We are ready for the seven seals in the back side of the book. That's not even revealed to man, not even wrote in the Bible, but they'll have to be just exactly compared with the rest of the Bible, and I think it will be a great thing. Last quote on Daniel here in these seven thunders. Message called Exploits of Faith. These quotes we have preached back and forth over the years. Might be new to some of you all who never heard some of them. He said, I know and I want you to remember there's something fixing to happen. Remember I told you that there's a step up coming in the church now. The prophet always look for them things, friends. Let me tell you something. Whenever God releases a certain wave of inspiration, and out of that inspiration unfolds certain messages, because not just feeling, he's speaking things, he's giving instructions, he's opening truth, he's shining light, he's showing you what he requires, he's showing you how to live, what to do, what to get rid of, how to line up, what to expect. That it all comes in a series of messages. But it's an anointing, a wave of inspiration that comes to take his church higher always. And that's why I don't just get blessed in this service, and I get blessed in that service, and I get blessed in that service, and I couldn't make that service. No, that church membership. When God opens the word, and he opens a channel of inspiration in a certain season, and he begins to speak to the church out of a direct channel of inspiration, and he begins to show and place and poster, he's moving it and getting it ready for something. Amen. Believers catch that. Amen. And the prophet is so sensitive to these things. He saw them those things many times. Let us step up in the ministry. Why? Because we can see what God did, how he spoke to us, what he did, how the hearts he convict, the backsliders he restored, the ones he delivered, the different things that happen under that inspiration. Under that inspiration, certain people get free. On that inspiration, certain people, but they just get finished, packed away. On that inspiration, certain people better get a refilling. Certain people are born again. Different things happen. Whenever he sends out, every time he moves and brings another wave, things happen. See? He bring it this way for that one, he bring it this way for that one, he bring it another way for another one. But you're all taking them in, bringing them to a place. And different ones, but they come there, they feel inspired, they call it true and dance. The other one said root, the other one said this. They move, they behave, because God has dealt with different ones under different inspirations. Because they were conscious God is doing something. They weren't just coming to church. They're following something. It speaks to their heart. Down inside of you, see? He said, we have come to a place now. He said, some things are moving. I can say this by the power of revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, everyone in our doctrine, in our baptism, we have come to a place, but there's some key that will unlock something here now. He says, he saw the book seal with seven seals, and when Daniel saw the same, and when the thunders uttered their voices, he said, don't write what that was in the scripture, but it'll be revealed in the last days. Is this the mystery of the seven thunders that brings back the headstone? Could it be, my brethren? What was prophecy is now history. That the headstone had come back. Headstone was in the prophet. Headstone was speaking, smiting every denomination. Those who fell on that word in Laodicea, amen, they repented. Is that right? And they was called out. Is that right? Eyes were anointed with eyes and brought into another age. And those who stayed in the denomination, reject the word, was going to powder. They finished. Is that right? So, that's right there. See, Daniel 70 weeks, he says, we are looking for that headstone to come. July 61. Since February 61, Junior Jackson had the dream. And when Junior Jackson had the dream, he looked there. And he had already interpreted everything to the top. And opened that rock and going west. And when the vision came for it to happen, and they were building the road, coming through the thing, he brought it, what time is it, sirs? He says, now, could this be the thing? Are you going to come back? He says, remember I tell you, there's a great capstone going to come to cap that pyramid? Amen? What's the attraction? Prophecy becoming history. What was the past redemption? Throw the rock up. God will scorch the earth with fire. Saddam talking about he's going to scorch the earth. He's going to scorch the earth. God's going to burn burn the earth with fire. Amen? Hallelujah! Yes, sir, you watch and see. But I tell you, we come into a tremendous time here now. Amen. Brother Bram knew that when those seven voices come, brother, that great mighty one, Revelation 10, that's him there. That's the one that Daniel saw. Saw him as a rock, call him Messiah Prince. Saw him as Michael. Saw him Isaac, a flame of fire, and everything else. See? He saw all three comings right there, if you get it. Daniel saw the same, and when they turned out their voices, he said, don't write. He said, you see, we are at that time, see? We are right at Kiddush now. Because Kiddush Banyu is the Pentecostal age, and he's leaving the Pentecostal age to cross Jordan. Oh my, he says, may he break that Jordan, open that Jordan, break them seals on the back of the book. Yeah. We're going to enter into that great place there. There's going to come on Ephesians. I remember years ago, I testified many times, you all know about it, but it's good to say tonight, right upon me. Amen. Amen. Holy Spirit, you know, following down through the trail of the message all them years, and when I struck Joshua Commission, I knew something happened right there. I look at the prophet saying, he says, I'm tired trampling this mountain, I'm heading down to Jordan. And he had seen it in the map of Israel, he was 2/3 across. And then, on Daniel 70 weeks, the part one, Gable instructions, page 24, he says, we are coming to that Jordan right there, and then he come right up to Paradox 61. And he says, we are down at the Jordan now, right where Joshua gets his commission. He didn't get in Egypt, he didn't get in the wilderness, but he got to the Jordan. And he's waiting there. And you remember that inspiration back in 81 and 82 when he was preaching Guyana and the whole place was filled with smoke. Amen. See, right then they went out outside the ministers to see the light and the fire around the building. But with the glory of God filled the place. When the people realized the place wasn't no fire, it was God among the people giving vindication to his word. and right inside of there, bring that there and shows in spoken words of original seed. He said they thought Joshua lost his commission. They said, Joshua, you worship. He said, but Joshua's waiting for a clean-cut decision. And then when them seven seals opened, he came back. Paradox 65, I remember, I listened to every Paradox, man. I go to every Paradox. Somebody tell me, listen to the Paradox. It have to be on Paradox, because on Paradox is where he put it. It's on Paradox is where he prayed. He said, break just them seals. And the message wasn't in book form yet. It was in tape. And so Margaret, I had a type of the whole 50 pages. And I was preaching about Joshua Commission and about the Joshua, the Book of Redemption, the Joshua Commission, all these things. And right inside there is where he went to British Columbia, 94th Doctrine up there, and they call him Joshua and kind of nonsense. And I didn't know what was going on. I just preached the message right there. When the message was preached, he turned around after me. He said, brother, you have to confess. I never heard it like that before. Amen. And that's where 84, we all went out, 25 of us. Like, I've never been the same there. But I remember sitting on right there that same time with Brother Floyd Patterson. He was the editor of Spoken Word Publication in those days. He wasn't Voice of God yet. But the borders had died and he was the one in charge. And we sat there and I told him, I said, why don't you all print Paradox? I said, it's a revelation on Paradox 65. Amen. There's something in the message Brother Brown was speaking, because when he came to Paradox 65, he said, Lord, let them see we are in the Ephesians again. He was coming down 2/3. He was down the Jordan. He's waiting. The seals had opened me across over. He was inside the air. And then he preached Paradox and he testified with spoken words. He said, let them see we are in the Ephesians. There is an Ephesians of this journey also. Amen. You remember right there, before that message, the Holy Spirit had brought confession, cleansing, and commission. Showing God going to have prepared servants who are going to have that commission, that Joshua commission. And every minister must bring the church in the Ephesians, in that land beyond the river, where they know positionally what they are. I remember I always read that, know positionally what you are. He said, Joshua was placing them where them Hebrews' mother was crying out. But I'm always saying, well, 4 or 5 places I read it for you. He said, one of these days I'll take that. And I'll explain to you how them Hebrew mothers was crying in childbirth. And how they were being placed in the place they was grown when they're calling the name. And the Holy Spirit took it and gave out 17 messages on inside life right there to prove that that commission is there. That is why people cannot prosper when they walk away from this word. Because they sat there and never even recognized God. It has been so much, super abundant, that they could hardly even remember half of these things. If I don't come and recycle and repeat some of them, they forget to listen to all of the things right there. It's too much. But God have kept His word and proven His word. Supernatural, the Holy Spirit, year after year. Look in 1986, what happened when that dove come up from Africa? 1987, that supernova. 1988, with the environment and the seven trumpets. 1989, the global village and all those things there. See, and 1990, look where we end up here. In this book of Daniel. You tell me we're going to 1990, I'm looking for you to get greater. He's faithful and true. Amen. Hallelujah. Of God, I'm looking for a message to sweep this thing unto the coming of Jesus Christ. Oh my, there's another step. Let me say it now, there's another step up coming in this church, and we are there's going to be a key somehow to unlock that place. Dear amen. It's going to be those seven thunders. It will not be another message, it will be the same message. Because those seven thunders was to show the bride how to prepare for great translation faith. It was going to give her faith for rapture and grace that these vile old mad bodies will be changed. Amen. Those seven thunders was to bring a bride into a spoken word ministry to give her faith for the spoken word. Perfect faith. Perfect raptured faith is to bring a bride into. It's going to be the same word. But just for many of you, it's going to be your time. It have people here, they're not waiting for 1981 for more or nothing. They're already there. What will Lord have me to do? Look, prisoners. Preeminence is first, then power to perform a paradox. I have nothing more. That's it, just to find grace to obey that word. God bring in conditions to get people to surrender to that word. Because when God pick up that word from the going of that prophet until the squeeze come and the ministry of the sword of the Lord, in the middle watch, when they break the pitchers and held the lamps and shook the sword of the Lord of Gideon, is still to come to pass exactly the same way the Holy Spirit said it. Exactly right. So brothers, when you watch and see, there's another step of coming. Oh, we are looking for it. He said, Daniel heard them seven thunders. What is going to bring a revival to get that bride ready for the that 140,000 ready for the millennium? Is going to be those seven thunders that were sealed up when Moses and Elijah come under their seventh seal, the seventh trumpet, where they will have a feast of the trumpets to cause Israel to recognize the true atonement. Joseph making himself known to his brothers. Is that right? Naomi coming to receive redemption. Exactly right. Two angels with the song of a great trumpet singular. What it is, they're going to make known those mysteries in here and show them they are in the last half of the 70th week. And you'll make an end of the sins. And you'll finish the transgressions. Amen. Glory. Glory. You punch the iniquity, all these things. Amen. That sixfold purpose will be manifest in the life right there. Yes, sir. You think about it, but it's happening to us right now. Oh, my. Not doing nothing different. And listen to this quote as I close. Conduct, Order, and Doctrine. Part 1, page 29. He said, Jesus come three times. He comes the first time to redeem his church. He comes the second time to receive his church. He comes the third time with his church, to reign with his church. Exactly. In the Gospels, he comes the first time to redeem his church, to die for us. Messiah, Prince, was cut off, but not for himself, for us. Amen. Amen. Then he's going to come a second time to receive his church. The same way he's going to come to receive that 140,000. Call him out of Jewish traditions to go beyond the camp and recognize the real atonement and receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the same way he's going to come, he has come to us now. Revelation 10, his second coming. He's here amongst us now. Oh, that God can lift people out of the reasonings to know it's not a nice blessing. It's not God anointing the preacher, not me feeling nice. It is Jesus Christ amongst us in the form of the Holy Ghost. And we, like Moses, is seeing the invisible God. He's in another dimension, like TV. Amen. Glory. Television. In a theophany. Using your body and my body. We are the flesh that is finishing up his great ministry to the world. And that's why they stumble, because they could never recognize God in flesh. So we would see Jesus and he's right all around them, on the job with them, and they curse him. Sure. Driving a taxi and taking them home, and they're trying to rob him. Everything, they can't see him because they don't know how to look for him. It's all one great perfect Christ. It's all one great perfect coming. It's all one great perfect God. He perfected seven trees, you see. One great perfect redemption. Everything, it comes in a trinity, but it's all in one. See, it's not three people, not three this. It's just one person, one church, one body, one Christ, one Lord in you and through you all, and so forth like that. Notice what I said. Daniel, his last vision, he had five visions in the book of Daniel. Four he saw, and one was a vision of a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. He had seen it in that vision to tell the king what he had dreamt. And here, all through those visions, it came in symbol form, if you notice. But when it comes to Daniel 12, then the last vision wasn't in symbol form. Like chapter 2 and chapter 7 and chapter 8 was always in symbol form. But in Daniel 12, it was unfulfilled history written in advance. As the prophet says, he says an exact account of unfulfilled history. I think it's page 192 in the 7th Church's book. Showing how God was writing it out and laying it out there. Now watch. And here he says, up to that time, watch, Daniel hadn't seen that great prince who's going to stand for the people. He had seen the people suffering. He had seen another king coming who was going to cast down the sanctuary, who was going to trample the people? Who's going to make war against them? Who's going to prevail against them? And how it troubled him so many times. But here, in that final vision, when he had seen this one, where he had seen them seven thunders, this great one who had come down with that open book, in Daniel chapter 12, he lifted his hand, verse 4, and sway by times and time and half a time, because that was going to be the time of the end time for the Jews, because they only had 3.5 years. For the Gentiles, just said, time shall be no more. But in Daniel 12, he said, times and time and half a time, because that was the end of time. Thy time shall be no more for them, because they only have 3.5 years. Amen. Great mighty angel standing there. You see, Daniel had seen in chapter 2, I don't want you to go to the track because I'm trying to close up. In Daniel chapter 2, when he saw a rock coming, covered with hands, who smote them 10 toes, the 10 kings, and grew into a great kingdom. He had seen Revelation 19. He had seen the third coming, when Christ comes with his bride. And in Daniel 9, when Gabriel told him, and Messiah Prince, unto Messiah Prince shall be 62 weeks, and Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself, was his first coming that Daniel was speaking of. So that's your first coming and the third coming. But the mystery coming, where it comes to deliver the names that's written in the book, was the second coming, Revelation 10. And in Daniel 10, he had seen that one coming, who was not, which was not when he smiting them, and was not when he had come to die, but when he stood there to deliver the names that's written in the book. And Daniel had seen them, those three comings. And that mystery coming, the second coming, in the last vision, when he comes the supreme judge. You read it, Revelation 1, 9 to 16, 6, 7 fold glory, showing exactly what Daniel described in Daniel 10, 5 and 6. The Ancient of Days. In here, he didn't go on to give the full description, but that same one, he was white like wool, who eyes was like a flame of fire, whose voice was like the voice of many waters, all these things, whose feet was like brass, was the same one. And that same one in Revelation 1:14 was the same one in Revelation 10. Is that right? And that's when Michael came, that great mighty angel with that open book. So notice, Daniel had seen those three comings. I'm going to close. I'll pick up Sunday. Maybe later Sunday we're going to pick up and show how those four kingdoms that he saw how Satan was building his Eden, and when Satan becomes enthroned over his Eden in the last days. But that is what the whole revelation about the Antichrist, the little horn, the prince who shall come was. It was Satan incarnate, who will exalt himself above all that is called God. And that is when he comes incarnate over his Eden, when he's enthroned over his Eden. And those four Gentile powers, those four world empires, was the Eden that Satan built for 6,000 years. You see? And then he saw Michael and Lucifer meeting in the battlegrounds, because that one who was reigning over the earth was broken without hand. He was destroyed with the brightness of his coming and by the spirit of his mouth. Amen? And the saints possess the kingdom. He even saw to where the second Adam and the second Eve went back in the restored Eden, where they come right back where they was in the Garden of Eden, because that is what Satan had tried to build to take over that kingdom. So brothers, when we look and see that whole mystery of redemption that was unfolded to Daniel that he saw, and you read chapter 11, because Sunday I'm going to try to finish up 10 and 11. Just throw 11 in, because 11 is just a conch of history from the chest of silver all the way to the consummation. Because every vision Daniel got was only a continuation, a further unfolding of the one same revelation. God gives one revelation and just adds to that. He don't give one revelation and another revelation. One revelation and just more information. And every vision, the seventh, chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10 to 12, the last four visions, was only more information on the first revelation of the times of the Gentiles. So, we want to try and finish up that, and maybe all this night we come to chapter 12. Because that is the one that is going to bring me right back to the seal of the living God, when he shall stand in the last days, which is Revelation 7, and Revelation 7 parallels Revelation 10. Because he has those seven thunders, and that's why he writes his name in their forehead. Because that name is revealed to them when those seven thunders utter their voices, and it's written in their forehead, and they cross from Mount Sinai to Mount Zion. They cross from the moon into the sun. Amen?
Sure.
Never clung of 12 stars, the original apostles' doctrine. Come back to one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We take them for many years, but I just have to take it back again because it brings me right back there. I'm going to go to Daniel, Revelation 12. It brings us back to Daniel 12, because Revelation 12 brings in Michael again. Daniel 12 brings in Michael, and Revelation 12 brings in Michael. That's where Michael comes. Because Michael and Lucifer, both of them meet in the battlegrounds again. So may God help us, and may he bless us. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer. Oh, how we thank you tonight, Father, for the quickening influence that is upon your word. And it's the Holy Spirit, and so endeavor to put our minds back into remembrance to the things, Lord, that we have already been taught and been establishing. What a refreshing it brings, Lord. And even an upliftment, even enlightenment for them who may have been hearing some of these things for the first time, to see and to understand more clearly of the working of the presence of the living God that has come down in the midst of the call out. It's not a man that we are feeding on, Lord, but it's the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. The bread of life is he who came down from heaven. And if a man eat of this, he shall never die. Oh God, you said, where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. That body word of the Lamb of God, the slain Lamb, the Son of Man being revealed. This great sevenfold plan of redemption. Oh, what a bloody word it is. And we thank you, Lord, that we can feed upon it. Because the fresh kill, there's something in it, Lord, that gives strength and power to fly away above the air currents, to soar up into the heavenlies, to make a real, rugged, overcoming bunch out of us. God, rotten food, rotten meat only weakens the eagle, Lord. Cannot even eat it. It will burst and blow apart. It's for buzzards who cannot flap in that realm. They're not pressurized. They're not built for it. But we thank you, Lord, for the eagle anointing. We thank you for the eagle food. We thank you for the eagles that are here, Lord. Eagles from the egg. They've recognized your voice. They've understood the call. Oh, Jesus. The days of being the barnyard and living in a barnyard atmosphere, the barnyard spirit, the barnyard consciousness is over. It's left us. We've been purged away from that. Being brought us to recognize who we are, Lord, what we are raised up for. We are worshiping the living Christ tonight. Moving in and out amongst us. May we guard this jealously, Lord. May nothing ever be able to keep us away from these places. The prophets of the counterfeit and the false will try to keep great men from those places. May we stand here, Lord God, as believers like they were in that Ephesian age. When they try every spirit Oh, the God would keep the body unleavened. Don't allow nothing false to come in amongst them. No leaven that would leaven the lump, Lord, or paralyze the faith, or contaminate and pollute the camp. They stood there, Lord, and they gave their lives for that word. They hated the evil. Holiness wasn't a phrase of speech. It was a man of life that come out from the world and was going to make certain the world didn't come back in amongst them. That perfect love. Oh, and how you dealt with them, Lord. There's going to be another Ephesians at the end of this journey. Those seven seals have been broken. We're going to enter into this great Ephesians at the end of the age. This great promised land where all our blessings are. Where all things are under our feet. But Lord, that's the time when the battle rages most. But we have a consolation tonight. Because that's the time when the captain of the Lord hosts came down to lead him into battle. Jesus, I pray tonight. In this time of great warfare, great darkness against the forces and powers of darkness, may there be such a courageous heart in every son and daughter of God, like he told Joshua, only be thou strong and be thou courageous. No man shall be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. For the Lord thy God shall be with thee, whithersoever thou goest. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. Oh God, you keep your patterns in the Bible, Lord. You never deviate from your plan. Never abandon your purpose. That is why we have confidence, because you are the unchanging God who works in the unchanging continuity of your word. That's why we know our expectations are true. We will not be disappointed, because it bears record with your revealed truth. What a faith it has brought to our hearts to recognize our position. And I pray, dear God, these that sit here, there will not be one amongst us, but will have a clear understanding of their position in Christ. Heavenly places, the believer's position. Like it was in Canaan land, that was the heavenlies, Lord. Oh God, where the Holy Spirit placed them out, the body fitly joined, compacted together, under the divine headship of their captain, because the intelligence of every army lays in its captain. Oh my God. May this coming year there be an Ephesians here, Lord. A mature group. Lord God, believe thy Caleb. He's going to stand true with Joshua. Oh God, them spiritual Joshuas, your prophet says in the last days. Who's going to place out the church, Lord, in the inheritance. Where their families, their offspring, are going to come in with them in the portion that God has given to them. Every house, every man, his wife, and children standing in the God-given privileges, in the God-given blessings, in the place where you have given unto them by predestination. An entrance ministered unto them by the Holy Spirit, where they could eat of their fruit, where they could partake of the promises, where they can enjoy their blessings and the victory. Oh, let it be, Lord. That is what we are looking for, Father. That is what your prophet says is going to be here. And believe you have brought us right upon the verge of these things. Isn't that final vision? Isn't that Revelation 10, Lord? Our Daniel 10 to 12 is Revelation 10. Oh, God. Caught up under the inspiration of the headship amongst us, the head and body becoming one. One in faith, one in works, one in signs, one in wonders, one in life. Where the people have faith of your faith, virtue of your virtue, knowledge of your knowledge, life of your life, works of your works, Lord. She is you revealed. Oh, precious Jesus. May we not miss that tonight. And may that sink deep down in our hearts. May it never leave us, Lord.
That is the promise of this hour. May we be made ready. May our hearts be open. May we crave those things. May we lay aside every weight that we sin. God, may we search our lives. When they came up to the border of that promise, Joshua said, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow God will do signs and wonders among you. There will not be a man to stand before you. You magnified him in the sight of all Israel. Oh God, I saw a man who was a sinner when Moses was in that land with that pillar of fire speaking things into existence. But now they had seen a group that had come through them three stages of redemption, standing in that promise at the end of the journey. And what Moses did was now taking place among that little group that was called on this message. Oh God, may we not miss that, Father. May we see the purpose, the plan of the Holy Spirit, and may we embrace it and with obedient hearts humble ourselves to it and walk in it. Grant it, Lord. We leave this place to go to our homes tonight. May your presence go with us. May you watch over us. And Lord, if you're tired of lost life, may you bring us back another time. May we be in prayer, Lord. May we remember the prayer meetings. Oh God. That's where Daniel saw that great thing. That is where he got that experience. That is where that final vision thundered into his soul. He was in prayer. He was consecrating himself. His prayer was heard the very first day he set himself to pray. Yet, he kept in his consecration for 21 days. And had not that angel interrupted him and wake him out of it, Lord, and he would have no doubt he might have stayed there for months. He was determined to keep in that consecration until he received his answer. What a challenge that is to us tonight. May we keep in that kind of consecration. May we keep with that kind of expectation. That perseverance, Lord. May we be so zeroed in our souls by divine revelation of your will of God for this hour. May faith see the promise and have it dead on the cross, yes. May, dear God, that one clear channel through the scripture, may the Holy Spirit stir through that channel. And there is a pulsation within every heart, full of expectations. You can make manifest all that you so desire. We leave this place tonight to go to our homes. Grant us traveling mercies. Take us safely, O God. Watch over us along these busy roads, dangerous roads. For the Bible says you'll rage and jostle in the broad ways like torches, O God. Speaking of this, hey, Lord God, with all the dangerous driving and demon spirits taking upon the people in such an insane condition. Lord God, may we go on the wings of the Holy Spirit. May we travel on the way. We keep in meditation of your word. Keep in this constant communion and fellowship. Keeping you close to us, Lord. We love you and we appreciate you. We thank you for your blessings. Thank you for all you have done for us tonight. We commit everyone into your safekeeping, Lord. Go with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. A little announcement on behalf of the little children, the young boys. The little football that they have up there and the little practice sessions and so on. I think they would like to mention that there's a practice on Saturday at 2 p.m. All four teams will be participating in a practice, and we have all the little boys out there. You're on vacation time, and It's good to come out and be together, and you're always looking forward to it, and they're hoping that the game, the tournament with the games will be played out on the 28th. So they're expecting all their boys to be out at 2 p.m. on Saturday at 4. At 2 p.m. rather, all four teams. Is that alright, King? On Saturday, all the boys out, come get and come ready for your games. So try to reach out early. I guess the parents may have to try to help them and whatever, I guess, get out there. So, you know, they're looking forward to this. It's the vacation. They're looking to enjoy the vacation. While they're on vacation, they want to come and let off the steam up their neighbor country. Something was arranged for them, like a little kind of vacation camp. And they have these activities planned for them. So I trust that the parents will get the boys out early on Saturday, and they could be up there in Abel Country, and all who could assist. And if you have a car and you can volunteer some transportation, and you'd like to do that to help the little boys who have been so fine in the assembly, and it's the vacation time, maybe you don't have children participating or any children, but you have a car and you're available, see Brother Kenny and see any brothers and offer your assistance. One way you could help to make it a little blessing for the little boys. Amen. We are dismissed. Come out early on Sunday morning, Friday. Let's have a good time of prayer on Sunday morning, especially early. And we're going to have service Sunday morning, and then our Old Year's Night service will be starting around maybe 8:30 on Monday night. And we go right through and have the Lord's Supper at midnight. Monday night, midnight, we have the Lord's Supper. We dedicate our lives for the new year, as we always do. So just try to remember these announcements, and may God peace be with you, and may God bless you. Amen. He is gracious. He will make a way to help us. And let's stay under Him, because no use we get just caught up all now and then, when we don't know what's going to happen in this world, friends. But we want to be ready, and we want to be right in His presence. And though 10,000 may fall on one side and 1,000 on the other side, no plague, no hour will thou that flat by thee or night will not come nigh thee. Amen. Because you know that hiding place. He's a refuge, He's a strength. He's a rock in a weary land, a shelter in a time of storm. Let's just find that tower, that word for this hour. That mighty tower, the name of the Lord, the word being revealed, that we can run into and are safe. You appreciate Him tonight? Oh my, it's good to be here. Amen. Maybe just worship Him. Maybe just sing a little bit. Amen. I just so love Him and appreciate Him. Thank you for His goodness. Amen. Learning to lean, I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Oh, gaining more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Learning to lean. I am all oh, just worship Him. Just surrender as you sing. Just sing in the Spirit. All oh, Jesus in it. Power that I am. Just let that word find a deep resting place in your heart. You'll find more power than you ever dreamed. Just surrender to that word, and you'll know what real power is. Oh, Jesus. Oh, lift your hands and sing to the Holy Spirit tonight. Learning to lean, yes, Lord. Oh, we are learning to lean, Lord. Not in our own understanding, but upon You, upon Your word tonight. Amen. To lean on Jesus. Amen. Gain in my power. That heart.
I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Well, let's all sing it one more time. Learning to lean. Learning to lean. I am learning to lean. To lead on Jesus.